approximately 140 people.
Today's trial makes a mockery of justice and confirms an alarming pattern of convictions after unfair mass trials in Bahrain.
Rights groups said sentences issued by a Bahraini court are outrageous and blatantly violate international law. On Monday, a court also sentenced the defendants to between 3 years and life in prison. Prosecutor, in a statement, accused defendants of establishing a terror cell in the kingdom. All those convicted are members of the majority Shia community. Now, according to a local NGO, this is the largest sentencing since the regime began revoking nationalities of dissidents back in 2012. It says nearly 1,000 people have been stripped of their citizenship since then, including 180 this year alone. Now joining us for this news review is Mr. Colin Cavell, former lecturer at the University of Bahrain, joining us out of Bluefield, Virginia, and Paul Lurudi, a former U.S. government advisor, joining us out of Berkeley, California. Gentlemen, welcome both of you to the program. Now, Mr. Cavell, we're going to start with you, sir. Now, just before the Formula One race this year, there was a arbitrary arresting of a bunch of prominent public figures, some of them opposition figures, of course. That's usually who ends up getting the axe in Bahrain. Students and protesters, some of them were sentenced today that swift and that unjust and that quickly without due process. Your thoughts, please.
Mr. Arya, arresting anybody who protests peacefully or otherwise this undemocratic, unelected family dictatorship that has existed since 1783 will force the regime to put you in jail, charge you with terrorism, revoke your citizenship, or they will go to even further actions of torturing you and killing you. And this has been the practice of this unelected regime since the uprising in 2011.
And Mr. Paul Lurudi, if I could swing over to you, I mean, we saw apartheid pretty much fail in the U.S. after 300 or 400 years. We saw it fail in South Africa. But why is it still propped up in places like Palestine, Myanmar, Bahrain, and Saudi Arabia today?
I was just going to point out those names, but that's definitely the case. And we have to remember that it's been exacerbated by the influence of Saudi Arabia, which has made the Eastern Province and Bahrain a focus of its attention for more than a decade, in fact, more than two decades now. One reason they constructed and paid for the entire causeway between Saudi Arabia and Bahrain was to essentially make sure that it remains within their orbit. And of course, you know that the Saudis sent their troops in there to essentially occupy and prop up the monarchy there. So this is about a discrimination on the basis of religion and, if you like, ethnicity. It serves the purpose of especially Saudi Arabia. The monarchy takes its orders from Saudi Arabia, so it's hard to believe that they didn't get their orders, and that Saudi Arabia didn't have a major part in this.
And Mr. Cavell, how can you have such an abysmal human rights record as Bahrain does, and make such a farce of the judicial system, and still enjoy so much support out of London and Washington? Put that into perspective, if you could, for us.
Well, primarily it's done through a dominant control of the world media by Western powers. If people do not know that someone is being killed, that someone is being tortured, that someone is being arbitrarily arrested and his citizen or her citizenship revoked, then it doesn't exist. If a tree falls in the forest, how do you know? You know? So what the U.S. does is try to dominate the world media with its narrative. and many of its allies will follow the narrative explicitly, or they will follow it implicitly. So the narrative of the U.S. is to keep Bahrain out of the news. So most Americans do not even know that Bahrain exists.
And Paul, can you answer that? How do you have the so-called champions of human rights and democracy on this planet in bed with some of the gnarliest of regimes on the planet?
I'm glad you said so. The United States claims to want to bring democracy to the world, but that's a threat for them to bring democracy. The only word to characterize what they bring contains only the two initial letters of democracy, DE, because what they bring is despotism. And that serves exactly their purposes, because their purposes are to serve the oligarchy and the powerful people in places like the United States and, as you mentioned, the UK and other European powers and non-European powers, for that matter. So let's not make the mistake of thinking that any of this has to do with democracy. And they love abuse of human rights, murder and torture of dissidents. This is a major part in the way the United States and its so-called allies, which you could call puppets, really, rule the world. And the difficulty comes now in a place like, let's say, Jordan. Okay, the United States doesn't have to go in there and do any of that because Jordan has an iron fist and it basically obeys the United States. Bahrain similarly obeys, you could say, the United States, the UK, but certainly Saudi Arabia. And this is it. You can't have dissidents. You can't allow people who have legitimate claims, but claims which interfere with what the United States and Saudi Arabia and the UK and Europe are trying to do there. You have to come down on them with hard force. That's what he's there for. That's what dictators are for.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for joining us. Colin Covell out of Bluefield and Paul Lurie out of Berkeley. Thank you both. And viewers, that's a wrap for this segment of your Press TV's News Review. Thank you for joining us, and goodbye for now.